As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I've just seen the latest odds, or the first installment, of the odds for the next head coach of the New York Knicks, with Tom Thibodeau being fired. And this is from the actual NBA Centel account. What is the gambling book here? Oh, Bovada. These are where the odds are from. Highest odds, Johnny Bryant plus 240. That's who I think is going to get the job. Kenny Atkinson at plus 400, who just wrapped up with the Cavs. James Borrego, the former Hornets coach and longtime Spurs assistant, at plus 950. Mike Budenholzer at plus 950. Patrick Ewing at plus 950. Sam Cassell, longtime assistant, at plus 950. One of Stu's favorite coaches ever, Frank Vogel, at plus 1,100. Chris Quinn at plus 1,400. Jay Wright, plus 1,400. Mark Jackson at plus 1,400. Mike D'Antoni, how you doing? At plus 2,000. Becky Hammon at plus 2,500. Jeff Van Gundy at plus 2,500. Jerry Stackhouse at plus 2,500. And then there's a bunch of other names. This one, though, made me chuckle. At plus 6,000. It is not anyone that has ever coached a game before in the NBA. This is a person that we talk about a lot. This is a person that could be associated with the Knicks. And this is a person that would be, I guess the best way to say it would be, a very boisterous hire. You guys want, what well-known person, and it's kind of a gimmick, I would say, obviously, in the odds, at plus 6,000 to be the next head coach of the New York Knicks?
LaVar Ball.
Good guess. Inaccurate, though.
It's funny. That's the first name that popped to my head.
Really?
I'm going to go Spike Lee.
Not Spike Lee, but you're not that far off.
Are we going with Timothy Chalamet?
Not Timothy Chalamet, and the follow-up, not Kylie Jenner.
So then would it be Ben Stiller?
It would not be Ben Stiller.
Jerry Ferrara.
You're getting closer because you're in a... Now, all those guys you just mentioned are obviously in the entertainment business, but Jerry Ferrara is now in the media side of things, right? With the podcast and all that stuff. Any guesses here?
Mad Dog.
Not Mad Dog, but you are almost on
Francesa.
Nope, not
Stephen
Francesa.
Oh, Stephen A.
Yes.
Of course.
Stephen A. Smith at plus 6,000. So Stephen A., orange and blue skies forever, by the way. He is not only going to be the next president of the United States, he's also going to be the first president to also coach the New York Knicks. That's what's going to happen. He's going to restore the Knicks. He's going to make the Knicks great again. And then he's going to take over for President Donald Trump after President Donald Trump serves his second term here after, I guess we could call it the gap year for President Trump. Oh, how about Bovada there?
MKGA with an orange hat.
Stephen A. Smith. I would actually love to see Stephen A. Smith coach the Knicks. Imagine those press conferences. Oh, my God. Maybe Kwame Brown would be his assistant.
It makes you wonder, though. I mean, like, could he be a terrible coach?
I'll tell you this. If Stephen A. Smith is coaching the Knicks, I could tell you what the Good Shepherd's opening up with. The Good Shepherd's doing a rant how he... becoming the next coach of the Lakers and he would be a better coach at Darvin Ham wasn't that far off. You know, I haven't imitated Shep in a while, so to try to do it here in an impromptu fashion could actually be a little bit tough. But Shep would be going after me, you know.
You know, that Zach Gelb, he laughed at me, called me names, you know, made fun of me when I said I could be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers when I said that. All right, he made fun of me. And now we're sitting here. And Stephen A. Smith, with all that boisterous commentary on the ESPN. He's sitting there, and he's the coach of the Knicks. Why not me? You know, I don't get to interview LeBron, and also Stephen A. now is the coach of the Knicks. What about me? You know, I got to whisper a little bit. I'm at my grandma's house being a good grandson. You know, it's Mother's Day, and I wanted to surprise her and just be a good grandson and say Happy Mother's Day to my grandma. So I'm hosting the show while I'm sitting here, and I'm just whispering while doing my overnight radio program from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time. And LeBron, you're still a coward for not coming on with me. But, you know, David Shepard, I should be on this list. Plus 6,000. You know, plus 6,000. Stephen A., what about the good old David Shepard? You know, my marathon time, it's better than Tiki Barber. So there's my athletic achievement, and I coach Dwayne Wade's son. Dwayne Wade's son. Oh, no, excuse me, Carmelo Anthony's son. You know, Carmelo Anthony's son. I coached him. So I know what it's like to organize plays. I know what it's like to talk to the media. If that podcast, you know, douche and J.J. Redick, if he's coaching the Lakers, why can't Shep be the next coach of the Knicks?
Imagine if, you know what? Shep, I endorse Shep as the next coach of the Knicks. That would be awesome. I'm actually going to see Shep this weekend. I have a busy Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday, I'm going to Little Wayne after this show at Madison Square Garden. Then Saturday, I'm going to the UFC at the Prudential Center. After Saturday night, remember our buddy Ike Feldman? Ike Feldman is also going to the UFC as a media member. He's going to drive me back to Long Island. He lives like 15 minutes from my parents. I'm staying over my parents' house late Saturday night. And then Sunday, Bob's Bar is happening again. Which if you listen to the network, you know about Bob's Bar throughout the year with our former colleagues. Colleague in Damon Amendola. Sean Marash is just down the hall, so he's still a colleague of ours. So I'm going to be going to Bob's Bar, and I was told Shep's going to be there. So I'm going to walk up to Shep there if the Knicks don't have a coach by then and say, Shep, come on. Why didn't you lead your show? Yeah, Shep should lead his show. You know what? Someone please call Shep this weekend. Please, I'm begging you. If you do me one favor for the rest of the year, listening audience, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I have two requests. When you call Ryan Hickey, make sure you refer to him as Hot Take Hickey. And then when you call Shep, call him this weekend and ask him if the Knicks don't fill their coaching vacancy, if he wants to throw his name in the ringer. By the way, I'm annoyed at our Rochester affiliate. Very annoyed. Did you see this?
I did see the exchange on Twitter, yes.
Well, I'm perusing last night on social media, and I see a great listener to the network. You know, I guess Bill Ryder made an appearance on The Fan Rochester, right? Great thing for Bill to do. The guys, Gene Battaglia and Mike Danger. I thought Mike was a great human being, but both of them, they do a very good radio show, The Sports Bash. Very good radio program. And I've been on there a bunch of times. And Hickey had that dopey take last year. Like, maybe the dumbest take in the history of the network. And the take was that, well, actually, no. The dumbest take in the history of the network is Carlos with a K. What did you think it was?
Thought it was about the person we were talking about before with a Mike Tyson fight.
Oh, no. Okay. No. We won't smack Shep around here. We don't need to do that. I like Shep. But anyway, I like Carlos too. I like Hickey as well. But Carlos with the K, he has this big take that the Chiefs aren't making the playoffs this year, which is just so stupid. And then he doubled down on it because he said that Patrick Mahomes is actually the quarterback with the most pressure on him this year. Now, let me just be abundantly clear. I think that's Carlos with the K running what could be a stereotypical producer playbook here. Say something crazy, try to make a name for yourself. You know, that's some. You have a bunch of affiliates on at that time. That's what I kind of think Carlos with the K is doing. So that's how he wants to do the job. That's how he wants to do the job. But anyway, the dumbest take was that. The next dumbest take was Hickey. Hickey last year, actually this one could be dumber, suggesting, because Hickey has like a hard one on for Caleb Williams, and he loves him. Like, oh, he's the greatest prospect ever. Oh, Caleb Williams, I love Caleb Williams. Like, Hickey just slobbers over Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams go through 6 interceptions, and Hickey will tell you, oh, it's everyone else's fault but Caleb Williams. So Hickey had some advice last year to Bills Mafia, and this is just a stupid, and I mean a stupid, idiotic, moronic take. Hickey said that the Bills should trade Josh Allen last offseason to the Chicago Bears so they could go draft Caleb Williams and reset basically the contract. And this is what Hickey does. That's what I called him. I've dubbed the term. I created the brand. He's Hot Take Hickey. Because not only did Hot Take Hickey get that one wrong, and to his credit, the thing did over 1 million views. So good job, Etta Hickster. Throw enough stuff out there, and right, get the attention, get the press, all that stuff. And shows are bringing him on around the country, basically to ask him how stupid he was. So the fan Rochester brought him on, and they gave credit to Hickey. They said at least he defended his take. Hickey ends up seeing Josh Allen go on to win the MVP of the league, and Hickey got that one wrong. You know, I told Hickey that he was going to get that wrong in the moment, but it's even dumber now. It really is, just how it aged. But anyway, Danger, Mike Danger, on the Sports Bash yesterday, he has on Bill Reiter. And he's like, Bill, you've had a lot of changes to your show. And he's like, oh, Tom DeCelestino left, and now our guy that we call him, and we came up with the name Hot Take Hickey, and Bill starts laughing. Ryan Hickey said this on our show, and they played the audio, and then Bill made some joke. Oh, yeah, now Hickey doesn't have a job. We just fired him. But how the guys at the Sports Bash are just going to steal what I created. I'm lawyering up. You're going to hear from my representation. You're going to hear from my agent, Mark Lebseltzer, and his attorneys. I'm thinking about maybe suing the Sports Bash, which is an Odyssey station, by the way. But, oh, my God, I couldn't believe that when I was listening. You know, imitation is great. I'm flattered by it. But let's just credit that correctly. Like, this is not, you know, you guys coming up with the name Hot Take Hickey. I appreciate that you continue the brand and you continue to push it and you continue to take shots at Hickey. That's all great. But if you're going to say you came up with the name, like, what are we doing here? Seriously, what are we doing here? All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll push back overreaction, proper reaction, but we had to give you those odds, those crazy odds. Of the next Knicks head coach. Johnny Bryant is your favorite at plus 240. And then according to Bovada, Stephen A. Smith is at plus 6,000. See, this is another win for Stephen A. Smith. On First Take tomorrow, doesn't Molly Karam or Christopher Mad Dog Russo? Stephen, big report yesterday from Bovada. Haven't used that site. But, you know, I still use a bookie, okay? Old school, don't want to get caught, anything like that, even though it's legal. But Bovada put out odds, and they said Stephen A. plus 6,000 to be the next head coach of the Knicks. Now, I know you're not Red Auerbach. I know you're not Riley. I know you're not even Phil Jackson. But would Stephen A. be interested in coaching the Knicks? All right? Just wondering. So now we're going to have to see what Stephen A. Smith is going to say. What do you think is more likely? Stephen A. becoming president or Stephen A. becoming the next coach of the Knicks, though?
President. I think it's president. Both would be wild.
Are the Knicks now more stable than America? 888-710-4ISN. It's a Saturday night huge show on the Infinity Sports Network. We want huge opinions. And I'm not even going to ask Samter that question because I'm afraid about the amount of trouble we would get in if we got Samter's true thoughts on the question that I just proposed. But we want your huge opinions on a Saturday night huge show.
Whatever happened to Bill Simonson? That guy was hilarious. He did what? Was that Saturdays or Sundays?
Saturday night, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time.
And you produced him a bunch, right?
Yes, a lot. Yes.
Coming up in about 32 minutes, another award-winning update from Marco Belletti.
I always like, that was his show. He would get on the air.
And back in our New York City headquarters, we got Kovacs and Graceffo, and Rich Ackerman is standing by with another award-winning update 32 minutes from now. Now let's get to the huge opinion.
And he would give like some huge opinion. That was like slightly a huge opinion. And then he'd be like, we want your huge opinion.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. It's a Saturday night huge show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's what you'd always get. That's what I listened to. Yeah, it was right. You're right. Saturday nights. because I would listen to Pharrell driving in when I would be on the Saturday overnight, which was Friday into Saturdays. Hey, it's Scotty Pharrell. Shake it up. You know, my bets are the best. I don't even, my sports book, my gambling site, they won't even acknowledge Stephen A. Smith. Tom Thibodeau, he got screwed, and now they're going to bring in Stephen A. Smith. Shake it up. And then from Saturdays into Sundays when I would do the overnight, I would listen to Saturday Night Huge Show. We should do, like, just bring guys back during the summer that used to work on the network and just catch up with them and see what they're doing. Anyway, Johnny Fanta will join us next on the other side. Danny Hurley, Jay Wright, any interest in the Knicks? We'll find out next.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We should be chopping it up with Johnny Fanta coming up in a few moments. John Fanta does a great job for Fox and NBC Sports covering college basketball. And with the Knicks saying goodbye to Tom Thibodeau today, a coach that made the playoffs 4 out of 5 seasons, a coach that got the team to the conference finals for the first time since 2000, and also a NBA coach who got the New York Knicks a back-to-back 50-win seasons for the first time since 1995. It is a move that I think the reaction about it, and it just shows you that a lot of times social media doesn't reflect reality. I think a lot of times we've seen people advocating, oh, the Knicks got to get rid of Tom Thibodeau. The Knicks got to get rid of Tom Thibodeau. And then the move happens, and almost everywhere that I'm looking right now, it's, oh my goodness gracious, you know, the Knicks did this to Tom Thibodeau. How unfair. This is a just brutal job by the New York Knicks. Like, that's what I'm seeing all over social media. And I'm sitting there and saying, I thought I was on an island for a while, being one of the lone people in the media that it felt like that was constantly defending Tom Thibodeau. But today, Leon Rose and company, they made a decision. And they thought that Tom Thibodeau reaches apex with the New York Knicks. And now they're going to find out who the next coach is going to be. And there's a ton of speculation as people have thrown out Jay Wright's name. People have thrown out Danny Hurley's name. You know, is it going to be Mike Malone, Taylor Jenkins? I think it's going to be Johnny Bryant. But let's welcome in now Johnny Fanta. Does a great job covering college basketball and hoops for Fox Sports and NBC Sports. And does a great job with the Big East in the Field of 68. And he's kind enough to join us right now. John, appreciate the time. How you been, my friend?
Zach, there is no off season. It just keeps rolling. And it feels like, you know, I think like the last 3 years we've come on talking right around this time of year or just before, or just after, about what could be, what's going to happen in some sort of a coaching search. But, you know, I was thinking about it and like, look, I'm not an NBA exec. I wouldn't have had the stones to fire Tom Thibodeau after having the longest run by the New York Knicks franchise in a quarter century. I don't agree with this move. I just don't. I know that there's people out there who are like, right move, right time. Well, it's judged by who you get next and who's realistic in terms of who you are getting next, because this guy still did a lot of good for the New York Knicks. They were the laughing stock of the NBA before he took this job. And clearly, the players did like playing for him. They did enjoy playing for him. But this was a move that Leon Rose didn't have flexibility. And so he said, you know what? I'll put it on the coach. And that's what typically happens in the NBA. Ask Michael Malone how things work out. But yeah, it was a jaw dropper just to see it in reality after this type of a run.
Yeah, and I thought because of Leon's relationship with Tom Thibodeau and how close they've been for so many years that Tom deservedly so was going to be back. I guess, though, when you look at this, you got Karl Anthony Towns getting a lot of criticism in the last 48 to 72 hours. Same with Mikal Bridges, also the coach in Tom Thibodeau. This is a move to me that says, all right, the Knicks thought they need a new voice. The Knicks thought that they needed someone else to get them to the top of the mountain, and they still believe in this core. Obviously, Brunson's not going anywhere. OG's not going anywhere. But unless if you're getting Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'm thinking right now that Kat and Mikal Bridges are both back next season.
Yeah, and I also, like, Karl-Anthony Towns was the very reason why, you know, they they won that game three in Indiana. And he willed them that night. And he was a huge differentiator. I mean, people forget, like, the Pistons had the Knicks on the ropes at one point in that series. And the Pistons were, they were giving the Knicks fits. The Knicks were having trouble scoring. And Towns was huge and integral in that. So I'm okay with that idea of running it back. I guess from a personnel standpoint, I guess what I would say is, like, is the lack of bench management, are the mishaps there to a degree that you say, okay, he's fired, he's out of a job? Again, whoever you hire has to be an upgrade. Because, Zach, you're signaling the message, which, look, I think this way, you think this way. We've talked about this before. Like, if you're not in it to win a championship, then why are you doing it? You're not in it to go to the conference semis or the conference finals. It does show you, though, like, the cutthroat nature of the NBA. You know, an NFL coach goes to the divisional round, or even they go to the championship game, Zach. They do not get fired. They don't get fired.
Mike Tomlin won a Super Bowl, hasn't won a postseason game since 2016. Mike Tomlin's a good coach, right? And Steelers fans may call for him, but the organization's like, what are you guys, a bunch of idiots? In the NBA, Michael Malone won a championship fired. Nick Nurse won a championship fired. Mike Budenholzer won a championship, got fired, and is already fired by the team that he got rehired by, another team that he got hired by. It's wild.
Our boy, Jaden Daly, who covers a bunch of college hoops locally, he tweeted out, Aaron Boone has now outlasted 29 other head coaches or managers of the four major sports team in New York since he took the job with the Yankees 8 years ago. 29 coaches he's outlasted. Yeah. And think about it. People have wanted his head at times, but in baseball, you know, you go to the World Series and people still are like, he's not the answer. He's not the answer. You know, there is this nature of like I heard the past month, Joe Mazzulla got outcoached by Tibbs. Joe Mazzulla was the king of the sports world for several days last June. People are like, he's this wizard. He's smart. He's young. He could be the new face. You know, we get into this, and I know it's our jobs to react to everything and talk about things, but like with this move, you do have to look in the mirror and say, it is the New York Knicks we're talking about. And over the last 30, 40 years, but over the last 30 years, for the most part, they have far more failed than they have succeeded hiring coaches. So, you know, you say, to what expense? The grass isn't always greener here. It is not always greener, and it's going to be hard for it to be greener.
So let's get to it. As you look at the potential replacements here, John Fanta, the first name that's going to get thrown out there because of Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, and Josh Hart being there, and I already see the smile on your face, is Jay Wright. Is there any chance Jay Wright is coaching the Knicks next season?
You know, I will forever say this, and I was on your show the night that Jay Wright retired. If Jay Wright wanted to coach, he'd be coaching at Villanova. He would be coaching down the street. Now, you could sit here and say, you know, I know that there's a pardon my take clip going around of when he was coaching Villanova. They asked him jokingly, what job would you take? And he said, he told the guys on that show, you know, the Knicks. But I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Zach, that man is making millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, both still in a consulting role at Villanova, and drinking with Bill Raftery doing college basketball for CBS Sports. I just don't think that Jay Wright now wants to jump back into something, the challenge, the weight, the stress of coaching, knowing that the standard is you got to win a championship. You have to snap this long and starved drought in New York City. I don't think it's realistic. I really don't see it.
How about Danny Hurley? He was interested in a Lakers job last year. Maybe he could be interested in the Knicks. Ultimately, though, I would like to see Danny Hurley stay at UConn because I think he's great for college basketball. What if the whole Danny Hurley situation with the Knicks? What do you think of that?
Well, look, if the New York Knicks decided to call Dan Hurley and go through a process with him, you best believe that Dan Hurley, like any human, should talk to them about it. He's a Jersey City guy. It's the New York Knicks. It is. I don't know a year after the Lakers thing happened, though, Zach, if right now, where Dan has assembled a top five caliber team this upcoming year, like they're top 5 to 10, they look like that they look better than last year's team on paper. Last year's team on paper going in the year, we were talking about them a lot, but we were talking about them because of Hurley and because, you know, that Alex Caravan coming back, he's back again. But I think for Hurley, he went through all that. You know, Dan's still young enough that, like, NBA jobs open all the time. They do. And maybe in 4 or 5 years from now, if things have kind of, like, not plateaued, but things are kind of, like, here, and he's sort of done everything he could, I still think he wants to prove some things at UConn. I still think he wants to keep winning championships. He wants to maybe go down as this historic college figure. And, you know, in New York, we talked about this last year with the Lakers thing. Like, Jalen Brunson's king of New York. He is, in basketball. The coach is more often the enemy than they are ever wearing the crown. And I don't think Dan, you know, without knowing anything, my intuition says I don't see everything fitting in 2025 in the here and now with the move that the Knicks just made. I don't know. I'm not saying Dan, if Dan really wants it and the Knicks were into him, I'm like, would it be a dream or would it be, you know, an amazing storyline? Of course it would be. I just don't see it with this particular case in the here and now, Dan Hurley to the Knicks. It seems far-fetched to me.
John Fanta here with us. I know you're a Cavs fan. A former Knicks assistant was just on the Cavs staff this past year in Johnny Bryant. That, to me, screams who this hire is going to be. He's a finalist for the Suns' job. All right, you make a move today that caught some people by surprise. Maybe they thought they were going to lose him, and I know that this front office likes Johnny Bryant a lot in particular, and he's a younger coach, and he fits more the mold of kind of what a coach is now in the year of 2025 in the NBA.
Exactly, and you don't fire Tibbs unless you have a really good idea of who you're hiring, in my opinion. Like, you're going to open up a search? You know, you don't fire a guy who just had the best season in 25 years unless you feel good about who's coming next. Because if you open up a multi-week search and it's this dog and pony show and it's chaos, right? You want to end up with David Fizdale?
Hey, again?
You know, you want to end up with Mike Woodson? Like, not that he was bad, but like you're trying to win it all. And Johnny Bryant, to me, like, you're right. He's 39. You look at this guy's kind of short resume. He's younger. But you kind of take a look at his demeanor as well and who he is and what he's about. And I don't know. When I look at Fitz, Zach, I do look at this guy and I say, I could see this kind of working. I could see him embracing the energy of the city. Clearly, he's gotten looks for head jobs. And it hasn't fully come to fruition yet. But he's got experience. He gets New York. Like you said, he's young. I like the idea. I would say Johnny Bryant's the front runner for this job, just based on reading between the tea leaves, talking with some people in the last hour of kind of who they think could get it. I say, why not? Yeah. I say Johnny Bryant should be the front runner.
The way I look at it, and we've thrown out all these names, you have to call Jay. I'm sure they've already called Jay. And I would probably imagine you're right that Jay has already said, I'm good. Now, if Jalen and Josh and Mikhail get on the phone, could that change it? Who knows? I'm never going to say never. But I would think it's unlikely Jay takes the job. Then I would think they go to Johnny Bryant. If somehow Johnny Bryant says, I'm going to go take the Suns job, I'm not going to take the Knicks job, which I don't know why he would do that with how the Suns are constructed right now and how the Knicks are constructed, then I think the name that is the most appealing after that is actually going to be Taylor Jenkins, because a lot of people keep on throwing out Michael Malone. Michael Malone, I think, is too similar personality-wise, even though he's won a championship and Thibodeau is not, to Tom Thibodeau. And Taylor Jenkins is also, people forget, he's, what, I think, 40 years old? So he's someone that I think one of those, I don't think it's going to be Jay. I don't think it gets to Jenkins. Ultimately, I think it's going to be Bryant. But those are the three names that I've really honed in on.
Yeah, I think so, too. But it's like any coaching search. It opens and everyone's going to start to bring up the marquee names. You can't blame people for doing that. It's part of the fun of it. It's the carousel. But
you don't think Stephen A is going to be the next head coach? I saw that's at plus 6,000.
I saw him at a World Peace. Yeah. I saw Ron Artest put out a tweet. To me, if you're the Knicks, I would think you're going to go younger. I would think you're going to go with a guy who kind of who understands like how the NBA is trending. How the NBA is trending. And I do want to bring this up here. I know it's aside from the coaching search. Mm-hmm. But all I keep hearing is, and I have no idea what you feel on this, but I'm gonna say it right now. All I keep hearing from people this week is it's like, yeah, the finals, they lack star power. They don't have star power, and you just don't see the same stars. Well, how we're talking about them has to shift a little bit in that, mm-hmm. if not a lot of bit in that. Okay, last I checked, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has 10 games in the playoffs of 30-plus points and 5-plus assists. And if he has two more of those, it'll be the most in the NBA in a postseason since at least 1963. Tyrese Halliburton had a 30, 10, and 15 game. That's joining the likes of Oscar Robertson and Nikola Jokic. And without any turnovers, he's the only player that can say he did that. I'm not saying that they're LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Steph Curry. I get that those names resonate with people. But, and this is where Johnny Bryant, this is where I'm going back to the Knicks. Mm-hmm. The Thunder have gotten there with depth, yeah. with length, with versatility, with guys taking on different roles, with Lou Dort being the defensive stopper, with Jalen Williams just accepting, both Jalen Williams accepting their roles and playing them to the maximum degree. The Indiana Pacers, Miles Turner trusted the process. Pascal Siakam is a champion. Role allocation in the NBA has never been more important. Tibbs, he never fully went the other way. He was, let me play my guys 40 minutes. And I can get that in a game 7. It's not in every game, not in every game occurrence. So for me, I do think that the reason why you go younger, the reason why you go a different road, maybe not the sexy pick off the top of your head, is because you want to go with a guy who gets it in today's NBA. Doc Rivers no longer gets it in today's NBA. Like, it just doesn't. You've got to have a guy in there who understands what's happening in the here and now. Roster construction, roster decisions are more important than ever.
And going back to your point about what people are saying with the NBA Finals and lacking star power, which it is what it is, what people are going to say. You're never going to make people happy. The last seven NBA MVPs have all been foreign. And I think, and I don't think this way, but I think a lot of people just don't know how to react to the foreign star just being the face of the league. Like, Nikola Jokic's the best player in the league. What else does he have to do? Giannis Antetokounmpo is the second best player in the league. And I think just because these guys don't have the American personalities, you know, that's why we don't dub them the face of the league, because we're just not used to them, pretty much. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I also think, like, if we can't have the reality check during the Olympics this past year that the rest of the world has steadily caught up with us, and not that we're bad, not the United States is bad. It's just there's more and more international talent. In the Olympics in Los Angeles, Zach, Victor Wembanyama is going to be better, stronger. He could be top three player in the league by then, if he's healthy, if he stays healthy. He's going to be on that French team. And that could be another gold medal game. And what happens, you know, like, we've got to shift a little bit of I get it. I get what you're saying. You know, it's not the kid from Akron, Ohio, or the kid who led Davidson on an incredible tournament run. But I know what my eyes see. And when I'm watching the quality of basketball, I'm blown away. Blown away. That there was a game in Thunder Wolves in Minnesota. It was game 4. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's going to be the first team that misses a shot. And it was. Minnesota finally missed a shot with like 2 minutes to go in the game, and they lost. But like, the quality has never been better. But to that end, you can't just show up and say, we've got Brunson and Towns and you don't. The Pacers broke that. They broke that theory all throughout the playoffs. Donovan Mitchell was the best player on the floor for the majority of the Cavs-Pacers series. It was a moot point. It didn't matter. Like, Halliburton was really good. But Mitchell had unbelievable games. It didn't matter. You gotta have guys who defend, who rebound, who have length, who cause matchup problems when they're on offense, make you guard them. It's a different time. And I think that's the one justification I would say to the Knicks. Like, this goes back to the Pistons series. The Pistons were outmatched on paper, but they were giving the Knicks a series. Read between the tea leaves. There was a bunch of smoke out there about Tibbs and whether or not he was going to keep his job. Once the smoke starts coming out, Zach, of the house, of the chimney, it doesn't just go away. No matter how good things start to be. J.B. Bickerstaff won a playoff series a year ago. And Jamal Mosley still showed this guy doesn't have it. And he got fired, even after a playoff series win. Even after a couple of playoff series wins, and yeah, the Celtics beating them was impressive, but once an executive has their mind made up, Zach, you know these execs, they've got their mind made up. It takes a lot for them to steer the car back around.
He's John Fanta. We'll get you on before the draft because I could talk to you about this NBA draft, and I'm sure that we'll see you at the Barclays Center. And by the way, congratulations to the Fanta family on the newest addition to the family, by the way. Congrats to you and your bride.
Thank you very much, Zach. Andrew is doing great. We appreciate all the love, all the reach outs, and I appreciate you, my friend. I'll talk to you draft week, if not sooner.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage, no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. You know, talking to John Fanta, I think the best way to summarize what he said, Jay Wright, not interested. So that's number one in terms of being the next coach of the Knicks. Then I would say, all right, Danny Hurley, because that throws the other college name in there. I got the vibe from Fanta, what he was basically saying is that if the Knicks called him, he would be interested, but he's not going to pursue it. And it seemed as if he didn't think the fit in New York was right for Dan Hurley, and he doesn't think the Knicks are going to come calling. That's kind of what it felt like when we were talking to Fanta and what he was saying. And ultimately, we both agree that it's going to be Johnny Bryant. Now, at this case, I'd be surprised if it's not Johnny Bryant. If it's not going to be Johnny Bryant, I guess maybe would Jalen Brunson, would Josh Hart, would Mikal Bridges get on the phone with it and be like, hey, Jay, please, we're begging you. We're your former players. Would you change your mind and coach the Knicks? That's the only way that I think that's a possibility of Jay Wright becoming the next coach. I know Leon and Jay are close. I know they have a relationship. But I'm not anticipating Jay Wright to be the coach. I would be pleasantly surprised if it's not Johnny Bryant. And the reaction on social media, by the way, you would think, and I like Tom Thibodeau. I know Tom Thibodeau. I love Tom Thibodeau as a human being, and he is a really good coach. You would think that the Knicks just fired Red Auerbach for crying out loud. Or they just got rid of Phil Jackson. Well, that may not be the best because Phil was asleep at the wheel when he was basically running the Knicks. But you get the point in terms of the coaching world. Tom Thibodeau, what he did was phenomenal. You look at a five-year run in New York with an organization that is just synonymous for years with jackassery, with buffoonery, and just dumb move after dumb move and being a circus. 4 out of 5 years made the playoffs. You look at it, back-to-back 50-win seasons. First time since Riley was the coach in 95. And made the conference finals the first time since 2000. I think there's only one way to really look at this. It's that, and that one way that parlays into another is one, Leon looked at this and Leon said, are we going to have Tom Thibodeau lead us to an NBA finals? Like, look at this year, look at this road. They beat the Celtics. Huge. You have the Pacers, a team that people thought you were better than. You obviously weren't. And they couldn't get the job done. You made big moves on Cat. You made big moves on Mikal Bridges. Clearly, there was stuff going on in the locker room. Reports about Cat. You know, did Tibbs' message just get stale? Who knows? But I think they looked at it and they said, this is the best that Tibbs is going to do in New York. And we see a younger coach that is about to get a job maybe in Phoenix. A younger coach that fits more of the mold of what a coach is now in the NBA in 2025 in Johnny Bryant. And that's who I think it's going to be. And ultimately, if Johnny Bryant goes to the conference finals next year, gets him to an NBA finals, that's, you know, I would say that would be viewed as a success. But really, this new coach that you're bringing in, it's a move that the Knicks haven't made in forever. It's to legitimately go win a championship. And not only go win a championship next season. Because next season, you're going into an Eastern Conference. Pacers are the defending champs in the East. The Celtics won't have Jason Tatum. The Bucks don't have Dame Lillard. They're probably not going to have, they may not have Giannis Antetokounmpo. Let me say it that way. I don't know if Giannis will be there or not. And you look around the rest of the Eastern Conference, the Cavs, what moves are they going to make to get them over the top? So the Sixers, can they ever be healthy? Can Embiid ever show up in a big spot? So this is right there for the taking. It's right there for the taking. And if you thought maybe Tibbs' stubbornness, not playing a deep team, you know, waiting as long as he did to empty out the bench, if you weren't believing that he was going to change that and make those alterations in the offseason, then it's the right time to move on. You know, a lot of times in sports, it's either they make the right move, they make the wrong move, and you got to be all in, you got to be all out. I think it's safe to say right here, you could acknowledge Tom Thibodeau was a phenomenal coach for the Knicks. He did things that we haven't seen in a long time. As I've said, 9,000 times. Back-to-back 50-win seasons, first time since Raleigh, 1995. First conference finals appearance for the first time since 2000. 4 playoff appearances in 5 years. You could look at Tom Thibodeau and you could say, man, was a heck of a coach for the Knicks. And you could also look at it and say, is it going to get much better than what he's done the last 5 years? Is it going to get much better than getting to the conference finals with him? And if the answer is, I think Tibbs did all he could, then you could also acknowledge, does it seem unfair? Does it seem like he got a raw deal? Yes, but that's sports. That's life. And maybe Tibbs is just the guy that could only get you this far, and you feel like you need somebody else to basically take you guys from being a really good team to then a championship team. And we've seen that before in sports. You know, there was Buck Showalter with the Yankees. It was the most popular thing at the time. Remember that? So this has happened before in sports. And ultimately, the Knicks are going to be judged on A, can they get back to the conference finals? B, can they go get to the NBA championship and get to the NBA finals? And then can they take home the Larry O'Brien trophy? And today, you'll take some of the blowback. I find it actually funny how much blowback there is because I feel like I was on an island for years defending Tom Thibodeau. But now everyone's like, oh, Tibbs got a raw deal. Yeah, was it unfair? Sure, you can say it's unfair. But ultimately, they didn't think they could win a championship with Tom Thibodeau. All righty, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. Overreaction, proper reaction. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.